It is getting to that time of year when, you know, we'd be telling our kids to get out of the house and get some sunshine. We'd be sending them to summer camps and they'd be having sleepovers with friends. And of course, with this comes the risk of sickness and bugs and injury. So what should we as parents be on the lookout for? Well, we have our regular nurse Sarah Kearns in studio to run through some of the common ailments that our children might face throughout the summer season. Good morning, Mrs. How are you? Sorry, we were just talking about your child there off air. I got a good laugh because you posted a picture of your, how old?
He's two. He's aging me. He is two. He's a big, big boy. He looks
full
like he's
full tub of Sudocrem.
All through the hair.
But you have a tip of how to get it out.
Yeah. It was so funny. I don't know what they love about Sudocrem, but I used to do it all the time. So when I put it into the group chat, my family, my mum message straight away. She's like, this is karma, Sarah. Posted several pictures of me. Apparently I used to just find Sudocrem and destroy myself with it. So I left it close to the cot. I was saying to just a second ago, this guy's like Houdini. So we still have him in the cot. He's two. Because as we all know, once they're out of the cot, it's game over. When you put them into a bed and you think it's romantic and they have this little tiny toddler bed and you're like, this is brilliant. It's not. It's not. Keep them trapped in the cot as long as possible. Some people have their kids in cots till four or five because they're just like, I just couldn't deal with it. But we have him zipped in backwards into his sleep suit so he can't get his leg over the side of the cot to get out. But his sisters keep putting squishy mellows into his cot. So then he gets up on the squishy mellow, levers himself out. And then he's a big boy, so he's a big head. And he just puts the head over the side of the cot and the gravity pulls him out onto the ground.
And he lands on his head. And he gets up and grabs
his Sudocrem. We were eating dinner and those infamous words, oh, Theo went to sleep quickly tonight. Oh, he must have been tired. And then I went up and all he could hear is, Mommy, destroyed all in his hair. The amount of people who got onto me and it was like, the only job for this now is fairy liquid.
So fairy liquid in the hair. How many goes?
Three goes.
Wow.
And it's not still 100%. We'll have to give it one more go, but that...
Just shave it off.
I messaged you and I was like, that's it, Jen. I'm going to have to shave them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. The day's come.
I didn't know it was the fairy liquid. That's a really, really good tip for parents out there. We're going to stay with heads, okay? Let's talk about it. Head lice.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a thing. It's always a problem. Year-round problem, I would say. I kind of had a little moment to myself there. We're going, oh, you know, summertime, they're not going to be in school, but it's just ongoing, isn't it?
It is
sometimes.
Just,
you always
constant.
Have to check.
Head lice really are 12 months a year. They get worse, obviously, when you're itching your head. They get worse, obviously, like September, October, and the winter months. A couple of things about head lice, they are just rampant. It's really hard to get rid of them because one of the common misconceptions is they jump from head to head, but they don't. They actually crawl. So it's like close contact. So you see, so heads like touching each other. So they crawl from one head to the other. And you see actually a higher number in the, you know, Montessori's baby infants, yeah. And then we see a surge in the older kids who are maybe looking at phones, you know, when the phones are given in maybe sixth class, first year, and then their heads are knocked together because they're looking at one screen or whatever. So we see that surge, you know, at the older age as well. Adults can get them as well. Like the incubation, so basically the head lice go onto the crawl from head to head and they lay eggs and then they're the nits, they're the little white
nits. So that's what nits are. The eggs.
And then they basically hatch, they become, and they look like mini flies. Like it's, they're, and they can be so itchy, particularly the top of the scalp and then in around the back of the ears can be particularly itchy. So you might see a child scratching. Also, it's a common misconception, it's dirty hair. It's not. They actually like washed hair, clean washed hair, because it's easier for them to navigate around the scalp if the hair is washed. So they actually like that more. And laying their eggs is easier. And I'm just itching my head here. But there's a couple of things, and I've learned this from experience. There's only one comb to get, and that's the Nitty Gritty metal comb. You can get it in Boots. So you can get plastic combs, and they do work for sort of a maintenance. So like, you need to keep an eye on the head. Like my kids swim, whatever, on like Fridays or whatever. So I always have a look through when their hair is wet. It's much easier to have a look through, brush through, and just have it split the hair into sections and have a good look through the hair. See if you can see any of the little white nit eggs or bigger head lice. And then you need to start brushing. then just get it treated. And then the other thing
do
is...
Do treatments actually work?
Yeah, I mean, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, but here's the trick. The oil-based ones are a nightmare. They're a fairy liquid job trying to get them out. There's particular products that really work. And like the foam stuff, the Hedrin and Lyclear are the most common ones. You can use tea tree as well. You can get preventative spray that you can put behind the ears and stuff to ward them off. They don't like it, I know. But yeah, they do. And actually, most school policies would say if you find head lice, treat it and then they can come back to school the next day.
Okay.
There is all these... Loads of people say put mayonnaise in the hair and everything, but actually trying, again, that's another fairy liquid job. But so it's a nightmare. But actually the foam based, you put them in, you leave it for the period of time, whatever, it's 15, 20 minutes and you just wash it out. And it's easy to wash it out.
But you have to check.
You have to check. Checking is the key to it. Yeah. And imagine you see a knit and just do section to section. You do your checking on a regular basis. Put get them lying on your lap, split the hair into sections, brush through the whole thing. You might get the knits out and they might never develop into head lice. So it's checking and it's regular combing. But do it. You know, the spray, leave-in spray conditioner can be brilliant as well. The detangler stuff, yes, as well as detangling stuff.
Yes, so you can get the comb through. Because the comb is so nightmare. Important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So important.
Yeah, yeah.
Prevent, prevent, because they can get out of hand.
Regular combing, and then it's that nitty gritty metal comb is the ticket.
Okay, let's talk about ticks. What are they? I don't think I've ever seen one.
They're like they're bugs. They're between a bug and a spider. So they have legs and they look like little fat spiders, but they're tiny. And they basically, they live on wild animals, like deer primarily, and they drop off the animals into wooded areas, into grass and that. And that what they can do, so you're walking through these areas, particularly in the summer because you're in bare legs or whatever, and they basically crawl onto your skin and they basically put their head in to your skin and they burrow down and they suck the blood from the top layer of your skin for up
Lovely.
To 10 days.
Lovely.
They can get, so you mightn't see them initially, but then they get bigger and bigger and bigger and then they're fat, then they fall off. But the thing about ticks is that they can carry Lyme disease. And like my first, like showing my maturity in my television program, but Yolanda from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. do you know, and Bella Hadid, like they're really sick. Do you remember she had her teeth and everything removed because she was like, well, and then it turned out to be Lyme disease. It can be treated with antibiotics. But a small number of ticks will carry Lyme disease as bacteria. So when they burrow their head into your skin, they release this bacteria into your skin, into your bloodstream, and it can make you quite sick. How you know if it's Lyme disease, generally speaking, it'll be turned, so anywhere between 3 to 3 days to 3 months, a rash will appear, but it looks like a bullseye. So it's red and it's round and the inside will be white around where the tick bite was. So it's like this bullseye rash and it's really distinctive. And what people generally will say is that the tick will burrow in, it'll bite, this rash will show up after it, but then people would generally recall feeling sick in high temperatures, just not feeling themselves, like a low grade flu for about 2 or 3 days, and that's a Lyme disease kind of taking effect. If it can be easily, you need, so essentially just say you're feeling unwell, but you've been down in West Cork and you've been doing loads of hiking, whatever it is, and you say, oh, I was in the wood, we did a scavenger hunt in a wood or whatever, and I had a tick bite and I took it out, and I'll tell you the trick to that in a sec, but that would be really important information to give the GP. They can trial you on, maybe say, listen, this looks like Lyme disease, because it's really hard to diagnose because it's all sorts of things. It can turn into fibromyalgia and all these sort of horrendous symptoms if it's left in for longer periods. Generally it's fairly harmless, but it can make you quite sick.
Okay, and how, if a tick has gone on your child's leg or whatever, how do you get it out?
Tweezers, flap in every first aid kit, flap bottom tweezers. So you basically, you can see the tick. You need two things. You pull upwards, but you it's really important to pull the tick out the way it went in, okay? Because the head can break off and it can stay, and then it's still releasing the bacteria into skin. So you need, so the tick will burrow its little pointy head into the skin and has this fat bum sticking out. So you need to get the tweezers right down where the head, the tweezers meets the skin, like directly against the skin, and you need to pull in the direction the tick went in. So pull upwards slowly, don't break, squish the tick because it'll explode blood, it sucked blood onto your skin, and pull the tick out and make sure that the head comes with the tick.
Or don't have children.
Or don't. Do you know, during the summer, the trick to it is though, they can stay on your skin for 10 days, is get them, check every day.
Okay.
So, yeah, check a couple of things. They light colour so you can see them. On your, so tuck socks into trousers, very glamorous when you're out. DEET, like insect repellent, can be really effective at warding them off going on to you. But check from head to toe. They can sometimes migrate into the armpits and groin and stuff. So I would check from head to toe, little kids and yourself in the shower, have a look and see little black specks. They're really dark. Yeah, so little black specks maybe on skin, and just get them removed as soon as possible. And if you do remove them as soon as possible, the chance of getting Lyme disease is dramatically reduced.
Ringworm.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
So it kind of spreads from animals, generally pets, onto humans. So it's a sort of a fungi, but it's really distinctive. It's actually worth a Google. It's like this round, round shape.
Where?
So it can onto your skin. So people generally get, I know. It's a fungus that gets in to your skin, okay? And you can get it from animals like, you know, dogs, cats, that sort of thing, rubbing like farmyard animals, and you're rubbing and it goes, this basically fungus gets in and burrows into your skin, is easily treated. It's a round shape. That's where the ringworm comes. Go to the GP. If you find any sort of weird rash, you go to the GP and it can be treated with over-the-counter just topical creams and tablets.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's easily treated, but so just don't let it, because it gets, the rash can get worse and it can be kind of itchy and the people scratching it. It can go into the scalp.
I can't stop itching now since you've come into the studio. You're freaking me out.
You can get actually scalp, fungal scalp infections. And it can get like flaky, itchy skin, and kids can scratch it. And anything, scratching for most things is a bit of a disaster because you've so much bacteria under your nails. You scratch, bacteria gets in, you break the skin when you scratch, bacteria that gets into the scratch, and then it can get worse and worse. So if there's, they say like any children, if you're kind of looking and there's a weird rash, maybe flaky skin, something a bit odd, maybe like a little, that the hair isn't growing properly out of, that could be a fungal scalp. So just get the pharmacist is the person's going to be seeing this nearly more often than a GP. But if things don't work, the pharmacist will give you a cream or whatever to treat it, and if that doesn't help it, then go to your GP.
Okay, so pharmacist first. Okay.
Yeah, pharmacist first, definitely.
Okay, let's talk about nettle stings and scrapes. Is the old dock leaf, does that work now?
Come here, do you know what it is? So if I go on air and I say it doesn't work, I think my mother will be not talking to me for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Duck, what is it? Duck and duck and 1, 2, 3, take the sting away from me.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah? And
yeah.
Then I swear, there's, you know, all my medical training, all my
one
degree in nursing done. They're nettles. Are
so painful.
Nettle stings are awful things.
Yeah.
They basically are a plant. If anyone, they're really distinctive. You can put it into cheese. Nettles into cheese, you can make nettle soup, but they basically have these hairs that are pointy, stiff hairs. You rub against them and they inject this irritant into your skin. So you can get hives, really itchy. You'll know straight away when you hit a nettle bush with your leg or your arm, whatever. It gets so stingy and burny, and you'll notice straight away it can go into hives. So that's the interesting, where the dock leaf, and they often grow quite close to the nettle stings. If you rub them, what you're doing is essentially you're rubbing away the irritant that has been injected into your skin. So you're rubbing it and you're rubbing it out of the skin. That's why it helps.
Okay.
But washing the area for most things is just so important. Like washing hands when it comes to ringworm, that's what's going to help, you know. But washing the area, so you're washing away this irritant. And then if people are very distressed, like understandably, they can be really sore, especially with kids, put an ice pack on it. Will cool down the area, will distract the kid, and then stop the swelling, and it'll really help with the pain.
Okay.
No scratching.
No scratching.
Yeah.
Are there any other types of scrapes a parent should look out for? And what should we have in our first aid kit? I know I'm always banging on about this to you because you're always all over the first aid kit.
Yeah. Well, do you know, because I read in, there was a thing about someone, a dog bites and things like that. It's just really important to keep an eye on things. Okay. So a couple of things with scrapes. I think that we have gone, you know, like scooters, falling off scooters.
Yeah.
Okay, that's grazing knee on gravel, all that sort of stuff. When we're in shorts in the summer times and little kids, don't underestimate running something under the tap as a first port of call. Okay. Getting those big bits of grit out in under the shower head. Right. Then in your first aid kit, I always have like an antiseptic a lotion that I put on cotton wool, and I wash the area from the inside out and clean it really well. I swear by Savlon cream. I always have Savlon cream, and then just have loads of bandages, like clean, just dry dressings. But for scrapes, one of the things with scrapes, there was just when it was on my mind about dog bites as well, or if an animal scratches you, just to keep, give it a really good clean, you know, like if an animal breaks your skin in particular, give it a really good clean with antiseptic. There's a thing, it's like a pink sachet off, it's in most pharmacies actually, off this antiseptic ointment, and just clean the area and get rid of any of that bacteria, because you can get quite sick. You can get quite sick from that. But the other thing is, with all scrapes, so when you fall off a scooter and you get, you know, those big deep kind of grazes on the knees, okay, really common, it's normal for them to get yellow. So they bleed first, then they dry up, then they get crusty, yellow, then crusty, the crust falls off. That's a scab. That's normal, and that process is normal. But just say you would expect a little bit of the wound healing around it, so a little bit of red. But keep an eye on wounds. If they start getting red around them and the redness swells or spreads at all. Okay.
So is that infected?
Yeah. And what I would do, and I have done this in my house before, if there's sort of a cut that maybe was on, just say on gravel or grit on the road, right? I would mark the area. So I would just with a little dot, like you're drawing a road around it, and just mark around the edge of the redness. And then if the redness goes past that mark, then you can keep an eye on it. But the first aid kits are funny, just antiseptic lotion, I swear by Savlon, and just dry dressings. You know, can be really, really
Theo
handy.
Theo didn't get his hands on the tub of Savlon. Not let's be yet. Honest, it was a tub of Sudocream. I saw the pictures. Sudocream, always have Sudocream anyway.
It cures everything. But everything. I know that people, yeah, I know that medically, I'm not really meant to say that, but I definitely, it fixes everything.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. And you can follow Nurse Sarah Kearns. She's at Hands On Health.